Fresh from a round of dental torture, Conrad visits the picturesque medieval town of Greiz, Thüringen, where a lady in a castle has decided that asylum seekers have to do their shopping in the shops she likes. Plus, should there be EU nuclear weapons? And slightly new news from the court cases against Volkswagen and its ex-CEO Martin Winterkorn. Hey nonny nonny.
In Berlin's heart, where news is unveiled, Megan and Conrad with German tales. The German news, it's tough to bear.
Everyone, it's time for another episode of Megan's MegaCan. I'm Megan. I'm here in Berlin. Sorry, I've fucked it up for the first time in a long time because I'm thinking, should we give the date? Is that important? No, the dates are on the episode. People can read.
Yeah. People always know roughly when we've recorded it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if anyone ever goes through our like back catalogue, but like that's insane.
You can
mention
the date.
I'm here with Ex Berliner Magazine. And Conrad Werner. Hi, Conrad.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Yes, I'm not bad, yeah.
Good.
Feeling
good.
A bit better now from my dental torture this morning.
Oh, yeah. We've already discussed our dental torture in like quite depth. I still have toothache at the moment.
Well,
I don't know if it's because it's psychosomatic, because you were talking about it, or if it's because I was having some crisps.
Okay.
Midway through a root canal, but you've been crowned now. You're fine.
I'm fully crowned. I think my teeth are actually better than they were before. I've got like this plastic tooth that looks nicer.
Oh, class!
And it's covering. It was a bit like RoboCop, you know. It was kind of like they kept drilling and drilling and filing away more of the real tooth, and then adding more artificial tooth over the years. And now there's no real tooth left.
Is it really your tooth anymore? It's someone else's tooth.
It's like there's nothing really left
bit
on the original
bit.
Tooth.
It's going to take over you. Well, but, that's good.
But it is technically still my tooth because they said we're not going to pull it. We're just going to
I think they really try not to do that anymore, which I think is a good thing. I can also get my wisdom teeth out, which I only had to do in the last few years.
Okay.
Not fun.
That's good.
Yeah, it was horrific. I was fighting with the man who was doing it. He was very mean. He was not my normal dentist.
And you were awake?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because sometimes they knock you out for wisdom teeth.
Yeah, if I were to do it again. And I'm fine with the dentist and it was unpleasant.
Yeah.
Anyway, the purpose of the show is different, sadly, to this one. But we do get to have mega cans. I've gone with classics today. Once again, I think we had Lynchburg lemonade last time.
Like
your Späti. I was actually in Cadeve today because it's my birthday weekend and I always like to just pretend I'm fancy on my birthday weekend. But they didn't have any megas. I was like, oh, they're bound to have a class mega selection, but they didn't. They do have a bit, which is a bit like a Späti, but no.
Well, that's
so you can have either. So I just went, sorry, to the end of your road Späti again and I cannot get on. They have a good selection, but it's all this 250 mils crap. Like I cannot fucking do it.
No, no way.
Not for the podcast. Not for like. No,
there's not enough. We need those extra 73 milliliters to get to the end.
I know when it gets really bad. The news when I really start to understand stuff. I don't want to be like, oh god, it's gone. So
okay,
JD whiskey and ginger, JD whiskey and Coca Cola, and it's not officially Coca Cola on the.
Ooh, that is tempting. Could I tell the difference?
I don't know.
If it's really a real Coca-Cola inside real Jack Daniels or the other way around. Okay, I'll have the Coca-Cola, please.
Oh, okay. That is unexpected.
Well, yeah.
And that, my friends, is the power of marketing.
Perfectly mixed with Coca-Cola, it says.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this ginger one. Okay. The Jack Daniels and ginger, it's a brilliant drink.
Okay.
There's just no two ways about it. All right.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, there we go.
Oh, that is lovely.
Mm.
Oh, I have got a story about Lynchburg lemonades. It's kind of a spooky story.
Oh, God, please.
So
let's just do
that. I don't know. This is
really weird. It out for 40 minutes. Everyone will get sick of it. We'll not even get to the news. Stick it up on the internet anyway. Who cares?
So on Tuesday at about 6 p.m., I got a text message from a number that my phone didn't recognize. I can see the number, but I don't know. It didn't.
Okay,
there was
it's not
no
like
name.
A private number. It's an unknown number.
It was an unknown number, and it said, "Newsflash, :, Lynchburg Lemonade, $1.99 at Idica with a little cocktail emoji, right?
Oh, you're also, yes. Okay, brilliant.
And I replied, and I said,
I love that I'm like trying to just figure out, I was like, I bet I know this person. I must. There's no possible
way. Well, I must know this person, right? So I replied, and I said, I don't know, maybe you've changed your number. No, I said, like, I'm sorry, I don't recognize the number. My phone doesn't recognize. Who is this?
Yeah.
And I didn't get a reply. So that makes me really paranoid. So I think there might be some kind of, unless it's just a real person who has decided to play a trick on me, I think there must be a bot powered by Idica that is sending text messages, that has found out that I like Lynchburg lemonades through this podcast and is now sending me anonymous text messages saying I should go to Idica to buy them for $1.99.
The only thing is, right, I'm glad we're having this conversation because
it wasn't you, was it?
A group chat that we have, which actually you are not in.
Okay.
We do, if there's a deal on Megas, like a picture of it.
Well, there was no picture on this one.
So either Deutschland has reached like new heights of digital marketing and also breached Datenschutz, or one of our pisshead friends has texted you because they know you like them and they're just not bothered their arse responding. You decide. Public can decide which is more likely.
I thought it was like a ghost or a bot.
Well, fucking get... That's a good use of bots. That's what I want. Get all of those Russian bot farms to get me mega deals. And these cost a fortune in the Spaties if they're not on offer.
Well, anyway, so according to this message, the Lynchburg lemonades are now $1.99 at Idica.
Now you tell me. Now you tell me. These are a fiver a pop.
Good.
Right. Okay.
That's my spooky story. Maybe it came from a patron. I don't know. But
I don't know. Either way, don't ever change. Just keep sending. What's in the news, Conrad? What have you been up to?
Well, I went to the town of Greiz this week.
Very good.
In Thüringen.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of Greiz?
I have not heard of Greiz.
Well, I haven't either. And often when I go to these little towns, because that's often what I end up doing, or when they send me somewhere, they say, oh, go... Who needs to go to this little town where most people vote AFD?
Yeah.
30% AFD voters, according to the last election.
How many percent?
30, 29. Oof. They won the election in Greiz in 2021. Anyway, they often send me, and then I go there, and they're really like beautiful, picturesque little towns. They're all a lot of Eastern Germany. It's very pretty. I urge you all to go there. Very nice towns.
I ticked Sachsen-Anhalt off my list. Mm. I want to visit all the Bundesländer.
Yeah.
Lutherstadt Wittenberg, not only the home of Protestantism, and the history is actually mentally cool and very, very pretty. But obviously a lot of people would probably feel quite uncomfortable if you are a person of colour going to... Yeah, that's going to be... You don't have to go and visit towns where one in three people is voting for the fucking AfD. No, you don't. But...
And Greiz has one of the...
rest of us should go and settle it and start changing. Yeah.
Well, Greiz has one of the lowest percentages of non-German inhabitants in Thüringen as well. It's under 5%, according to the census. The other thing about Greiz is that they have... It's quite a small town, like 20,000 people. They have also started a pilot project 2.5 months ago to introduce pay cards for asylum seekers. So people, not people who already have asylum, like, for example, Ukrainians get asylum automatically.
Mm-hmm.
This is people who are from, who just apply for asylum. They're often from former Yugoslavian countries, or they're from Iraq or Syria or Afghanistan, places like that. And they have applied for asylum. And this idea of having pay cards for them mm-hmm. is now all the rage across Germany. You won't be surprised to hear that Markus Söder really loves the idea.
So tell me what this means. What was the system before?
The system before is the first of every month, asylum seekers, they get this state benefit. It's about 500 euros. It's about like, it's a bit like Hartz IV. And they get it in cash because they're not allowed to have bank accounts. Usually they're not allowed to work, so they don't have bank accounts here. Yeah. So they get a wad of cash.
Before you get a bank account, and you can't get a bank account before you register, but you can't register before you have an address, and you can't get an address unless a bank account.
Yeah, so...
And that's if you're not trying to fucking claim asylum. Fuck me.
So asylum seekers, they get this benefit. It's about 500 euros each per month. Yeah, they just used to get this sort of roll of cash, and it has to be the exact amount because they can't, you know, give change or everything. And so there are a lot of prejudices, I would say, amongst the population of Greiz about what happens to this money. Like, a lot of them say, oh, they just use it to pay their traffickers, or they send it home. But there's not really any particular, we don't really know. There's not any particular statistics about how much money gets sent back. But
it also doesn't matter. Anyway, I thought this was what it was going to be. I was like, oh, maybe they've done something good. Is this something where they can only spend it on certain things in certain shops?
Yeah. So they used...
No! So fuck me!
It's not quite the same as what it used to be, where they used to get Sachleistungen, like tokens, basically, to spend in the supermarket. You can... They top it up. They just give you this card. You do get some pocket money in cash. You get about 100 euros in cash. And you get the rest on this card.
That won't last you a fucking thing. That's a slab of megas. That's one party a month people are supposed to have. And you're not allowed to work. What else would you be doing?
Oh, the other thing about this Bezahlkarte, as it's called, is that it's restricted to certain postcodes. So you can't spend it anywhere in Germany. You can't spend it on the internet. You can't buy anything
Jesus
on the internet.
Fucking Christ.
You can't order something on the internet. You only spend it in shops in certain...
This is what they're spending money doing.
This is
what my fucking tax dollars are doing while I can't even fucking vote these clowns in or out.
Mm.
And people are here in this country. Are all asylum seekers angels? No. Is the system complicated? Yes. Are there going to be nasty people profiting from this system? Yes. Is this stupid card thing, which is pandering to racists, going to do a fucking thing to change that system or dissuade people in desperate situations, whether that's economic or political or whatever, from coming here? No, it fucking isn't. It's just wasting money, pandering to racists who are going to vote for the AfD anyway. Oh, fuck me. Oh.
So, yeah, I don't really need to say anymore. You've basically summed it all up perfectly in 5 minutes. We can move on to the next talk. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. You probably did lots of like research and stuff, though.
It doesn't matter. I did loads of interviews. I talked to different people in the town of Greiz. But that is basically it. I mean, that I don't really need to add anything.
Who did you talk to? Was anyone?
You'll be unsurprised to hear, is actually I talked to a lot of refugee help organizations mm-hmm. and they wouldn't give me the contact details of anyone who's using this Bezahlkarte, because partly for privacy, but partly because they said all these people don't want to talk to the press about it because they think that if they go public and if they complain about it, they might not get their asylum. You know, they might, or they might lose benefits. They can,
it's
you know,
100%.
So.
It's going to be, and even they'll be vilified for being the ungrateful.
Yeah.
Asylum seeker.
So they didn't really want to talk about that. So there were certain people in the town of Greiz who said that they thought it was a good idea because it meant it, as they put it, eased tension. So I talked to the lady councillor whose idea it was to bring it into Greiz first, your CDU, mm-hmm. Martina Schweinsburg. Quite a character. I shouldn't really talk about it. But anyway, she had like a massive dog in the office with her. It was really amazing. And she's had like a huge grey wolfhound in the office. And it was like, she was like an old lady. She's like a lady in a medieval castle. I thought it was really kind of picturesque. And she was called Martina Schweinsburg as well, which is like just a brilliant name for a CDU councillor.
Yeah.
So anyway, so it's her idea, and she's
really
positive.
You probably come with a wolfhound if you're called Schweinsburg. Yeah. They have to, like,
Yeah.
You have to have something, a medieval animal of some kind.
She was really proud of this Batal card. She thought it was a really good idea, and she kept kind of coming up with slightly, like you might say, racist arguments about it, about how, you know, she said that in their cultures they don't have purses. They just put their cash in like an elastic band. And she said that's like a cultural thing. She was arguing in the Middle East. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Can I just show you a picture of Martina Schweinsburg?
Please. I don't think you have to.
There she is.
Oh, wow.
She's holding one of the cards.
Oh, is she? Right.
Yeah.
Oh, God, your mega's going to tip over. Okay, oh, God, don't do that again. I can Google it on my phone.
Right, so,
okay, that's... Look, the problem, I think, is with schemes like this, and this is running on the same thing as, like, charity. We will tell these people what we are willing to give rather than listening to them for what they need or what they want.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's not well-meaning. It's just that it's a crap idea and it doesn't work. So at the worst, it's like racist, where you never like, or you could interpret it in a range of ways. She's obviously very racist in that kind of benign, completely ignorant, and the foreigner will always be beneath me way.
Yeah.
I mean, she still wants them to have like asylum and stuff and things.
Yeah.
She's not meeting with the far right in villas to have them, you know, remigrated. This is the scale we're on.
So she was saying that what happens is that if they have this big roll of cash, these people from the Middle East, and they bring it out in Lidl, and they want to pay for like 20 euros worth of groceries with a 100 euro note, this causes tension in the rest of the queue. And that's what makes people more against... Right. against immigration. So she thinks that this scheme is... So that's what she said. I mean, I'm just reporting.
And I can understand that. Like, that rings true to me. You know what I mean? Like, people who see people who are refugees with smartphones, and they're like, fucking hell!
Yeah.
This is the last thing. That seems fine to me. But presumably the reason that person is carrying all of their cash around, possibly, I don't know, I'm also using conjecture. You want to keep your cash on you so that it's safe.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like fucking traveler's checks when you used to go thing, because you don't have a home where you feel safe leaving your stuff, and you're not allowed to get a bank account.
Yeah.
So we can, that's a real issue, but the issue is not caused by that poor person in Lidl having a cultural aversion to wallets and having to use a fucking rolled up bit of cash. Or I don't know, please. Any listeners from the Middle East, I'm so sorry, first of all. And second of all, if we're wrong, I don't think we are, fuck me. Right.
So I did go around a few shops in Greiz, and I asked, you know, tried to figure out which ones took cards, because you can only use these ones in shops which take MasterCard. So they're not even like a bank card. They're not
this
like a normal...
Germany. People are going to starve.
Yeah, exactly. Nowhere in Germany can you pay with credit card except in supermarkets.
You can't go to the post office. Supermarkets you can. Post office, no.
Yeah.
Cafes and stuff, probably no. Imagine not being able to go and buy a fucking coffee.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, cafes, forget it. Fast food, Dönerladen, forget it. You can't pay with a credit card in those places. I mean, this is Germany, you know. I did go to an Arab shop where they had a lot of Arab goods, and he said, yeah, it's like quite bad for him, and he has noticed people are now buying less because he has all these kind of Arab products, and he said like people are buying less stuff like that and just buying bread now. And he said, I've decided to get a card reader just for this purpose now in my shop, because it's like it's not going well. And he said that people aren't happy about it, and it's very restrictive for them. Yeah, so that was the whole of the card
I think
debate.
There's this other issue.
But like, that is probably going to happen in across Germany now. That isn't only going to be Greiz. It's already been introduced in Hamburg and Hanover and in Bavaria. And it's only a matter of time before it's introduced everywhere, I think.
But like, I understand that we can't have all people seeking asylum in one place. But I do feel, and I don't know enough about it, but like this system of like putting people out in these fucking tiny towns in AfD country. Like, do we have to do that?
That's to do with this the key, isn't it? There's a special, I think it's Königstein Schlüssel. There's a way of there's a complicated formula.
I do remember you telling me this before, and I've said it before probably.
It's to do with how asylum
seekers. Kingstone key. This is not a video game we're playing, everyone. This is actual German policy.
Yeah, so there's a complicated formula for how many people each district of Germany has to take in of asylum seekers. So they get assigned a certain number, and then they just go and move there.
I think we should
revisit can't move,
this.
And they can't leave most cases.
We should revisit this because it's a shit idea.
So often they don't get to choose where they go, asylum seekers. And
God, you might end up in like Neukölln, be like, fucking class, or yeah. Like Greiz.
Yeah.
And then you can't even go and visit your pal. You don't want to go visit your pal in Greiz if you're an asylum seeker. Well,
but if you can't, I mean, if you've got one of these cards, then you can't spend any money in anywhere else. But
that's what I mean. You can't. I mean, you can take your shitty 100 euros. You'll probably have to. But the Deutsche Bahn website, incomprehensible to anyone. The card machine in Greiz is probably broken on the ticket machine. So you have to spend your money getting to Berlin, and then you won't be able to spend anything in a cafe.
No, you have to borrow money off your mate.
Who's praying that they don't bring in this fucking dumb card and make him give up his sentimental fucking rubber band that he got. What was she talking about? What?
She said that they don't have the portemonnaie-kultur of Germany. I don't know.
It's amazing when you like...
Do you want to know something else she said? She said that...
No.
So there's a family of four, two adults, two children. That whole family gets, about 2,000 euros because it's like four of them.
Yeah.
And she said that the mum and the dad get a card each, and the money for the kids goes on the mother's card.
No, I don't even want to hear her justification for this. I absolutely don't. I feel like we're just giving a mouthpiece to racism now.
Okay.
That's.
I won't go further on that. But yeah, so that was another thing.
Do not go to these little towns for your holidays. I regret having done it last week. Let's just go, I don't know where we're going to go. Spend our money on sending money to organisations that work with people seeking refuge in asylum. Okay,
anyway.
Great, wonderful, brilliant. Oh God, I'm looking at my list. What's next on the list? Dieselgate.
Okay, so.
All right, yes.
Now we have to thank very much our friend and patron. I don't know, just patron. Friend, Hannah. She's a friend too. Hannah.
I don't want to be too presumptuous. It's not our Hannah.
No, I don't think it's our Hannah. No, it's a patron.
I mean, you are a friend. Hannah. Sorry, I thought you thought it was our friend Hannah. I was like, I don't.
I just said friend by accident.
I know Hannah listens to the pod, but I don't think she texts us through Patreon to ask us questions. But the other lovely Hannah, thank you so much for
sending
a very detailed question.
So for months now, we've been asking patrons to send us questions, and none of them ever have. But now one actually did.
You said that in a really, like, you don't have to. You're not obligated.
No, you don't. But I kind of thought when I started saying it, I thought we'd be inundated with questions every week, but it sort of not happened. But anyway, we actually did get a question this week from listener Hannah, and it was about Dieselgate.
Yes.
Essentially along the lines of what is going on with Dieselgate, because it was a big scandal in 2015. Do you want a little recap of what happened?
I really like that how she wrote it in. She was like, maybe I'm just missing out on something. I don't think so. I mean, you would be able to answer that, Conrad, but she will in a second. But she's like, I think about it every time I see someone driving a Volkswagen car. So a lot. And also, do we have any reason to think steps have been taken to prevent something similar happening now or in the future? I'm also keen on that second answer, but I feel like I can answer it now. Can I now have the recap of Dieselgate, which I stopped you doing a minute ago? So 2015, let me tell you what I think I know.
Okay.
There was a big scandal because Volkswagen had been making environmental claims about its cars, which turned out to either be inaccurate or like actively falsified. Did I make that up? Let's see.
The American Environmental Protection Agency essentially found out that Volkswagen were using cheat software on their VW cars. So every car has an environmental standard, like how many emissions has it, and it's especially the diesel cars. And in America especially, diesel cars are considered environmentally friendlier because they use diesel, which produces less carbon dioxide, but what it does produce is more nitrogen oxide, NOx, N-O-X. And this is also bad. All these cars, like millions and millions of cars, VW cars, were being bought by American consumers thinking, oh, we're doing something good for the planet. And it turned out that they were emitting about 40 times, up to 40 times as much nitrogen oxide than they were, than it said on the test. And the Environmental Protection Agency found out what they were doing was putting, actively putting software in the cars so that when they were being tested, they were producing way, way less nitrogen oxide.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Than they, when they were on the road. So when they were on the road, it was like, oh, there's actually 40 times, that it's 40 times over the limit.
This is, what?
And this is like a gas that causes, like, I mean, it's really bad pollution. It causes stuff in your head and everything. It causes, you know, asthma. It's really bad for you.
Jesus wept.
So they were, and this was like being deliberately put in the cars. They were finding out this cheat software. So they were testing this. There's a really good, if you want to, if you're interested in the whole story, I can recommend a documentary on Netflix, Dirty Money, Season 1, Episode 1. It's all about, it tells this whole story. Interestingly, it came out in America and not in Germany, because as we know, the whole point of Germany is the car industry.
The whole point.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. As you, never have you said anything truer, Conrad, than CDU is the political wing of Volkswagen.
Exactly. I mean, it's still true. So
it is.
It came out, it was a big scandal in America, and then it became, I think, and in America, they were fined several billion dollars, I think, in the end. Volkswagen announced that they were agreed to spend up to $16.2 billion to deal with this scandal, or billion euro, sorry, to deal with this scandal. There was a bit of a fallout. Martin Winterkorn, who we'll come to shortly, who was the CEO of VW at the time, he resigned. There is an ongoing investigation. Basically, the short answer to Hannah's question...
Fucking 9 years ago.
Yeah, the short answer to Hannah's question is that there are several lawsuits still going on. There's a criminal lawsuit against Winterkorn and a civil lawsuit going on against Winterkorn from shareholders of VW who lost lots of money because of this.
And this is against him, not against Volkswagen as
No, the civil lawsuit is against Volkswagen as a company.
Yeah.
But there is also a criminal case against Winterkorn as a as an individual, I believe, in Germany that is still also is on trial. But he keeps missing court cases. He says he's got a bad hip.
I mean, I think these things, when you're dealing with organizations like, or companies like this, they have so many resources to just fucking delay and delay court cases and fuck them.
So it's been going on for a long time. And apparently the civil lawsuit, so the reason why I brought up the civil lawsuit is because Winterkorn himself actually testified this week in that lawsuit, and he was asked sort of various questions, and apparently it just descended into what one German news report that I read about it described as an American sitcom, because he kept saying he just couldn't remember anything, and they kept bringing up emails saying, like, well, can you remember this email in which you were told that this was happening, that there were these cheat software being put in? And he said, no, I can't remember that at all. It was ages ago. Journalists said that they could have put in a laugh track, like in an American sitcom, every time he said it, because he just, there was basically nothing that prosecutors can do if you just say you can't remember.
Yeah.
Although he did say he still denies any wrongdoing, Winterkorn himself. I think a few engineers have been prosecuted and fined. I think one of them has been convicted. They had a suspended prison sentence. So some engineers have had fines and prison sentences.
So nice, like white collar crime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Consequences.
Yeah, there've been like
for people who basically conducted a massively dangerous conspiracy that would damage people's health. Class.
Winterkorn said this week, if I had been given a complete picture of the internal processes in the responsible specialist departments, I would not have hesitated to tackle the issues directly and clear them up.
Then they're like, mate, we're putting cheat stuff in the car. And he's like,
okay,
class. Okay, so...
So they're not expecting a verdict. This is the civil lawsuit, which he testified, where he's only a witness. He's not being sued personally. VW as a company is being sued in this. And that is going to take, they said, several more years before there's a verdict. There's like 80 witnesses they have to cross-examine in court.
And this is a civil lawsuit on behalf of the shareholders.
Yeah. And he is also... But there is also an ongoing court case against him, a criminal lawsuit on charges of fraud, which I don't, I mean, who knows when that's going to end. But there is stuff happening. As for what is, the other question was, what is there anything being done to stop this happening? I mean, I have no idea. I may, maybe I'll answer that in another podcast, because I do not know if there's been like any legislation even floated.
Because this doesn't even seem...
I mean, obviously, this what they were doing like was illegal anyway. So
yeah.
So there was already a law against what they were doing. It's fraud. I mean, it's just fraud. But I don't know if there's any particular new. The TÜV is in. The TÜV would be in charge of this. I don't know.
The TÜV. You get your TÜV. In terms of like the environmental. I mean, this seems to me. I mean, it has an environmental aspect, of course, but it's more just. It's not even, I thought it was kind of like a case of greenwashing that was then, or that they were manipulating figures in studies. I'd obviously not really followed the case very clearly. I knew they were presenting the cars as one thing and it wasn't, these diesel cars. But this is not like environmental kind of massaging of figures or misrepresentation. This is fraud. Like this is like, so yeah, it's more like corporate fraud, corporate...
Yeah, they were deliberately cheating the tests. They were deliberately cheating the tests with software. Yeah. And then it kind of emerged that when Volkswagen were done for it, they basically said, yeah, but everyone does it. And then it kind of emerged that Audi, which is also a Volkswagen company, by the way, also were doing it. And then it kind of... so that there
everyone's
have been,
doing it. I mean, everyone who's us. Everyone who's us is doing it.
So a lot of car companies have been pulled up on this in the meantime.
Disgusting.
It's really bad. I mean, like, you know, our air is being polluted with, and I mean, when you watch the documentary, you'll just be outraged by just how brazen it was. And
yeah, but I think there's the thing, because there's no real consequences. Like, this is less consequences.
No, I mean, the companies
then people,
have been fined.
Than young, like, men getting caught with a fucking bit of weed on them.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we're talking about millions of cars all over the world, and they've been spewing out a lot more nitrogen oxide than they were supposed to.
And were they, like, recalled or anything? Was it...
Well,
did
I believe
people
in
have
America,
any... like,
everyone who bought one in America was given... got compensation.
Give another car.
They got another car. Class. They got compensation. I don't know if what's happened in Germany. I'll have to look that up. I do think it's interesting, actually, because I'm glad this question was asked, because this story is not often in the German media. It was more, I remember at the time when it happened, there were more stories about it in English than there were in German. I do feel like there was a bit more interest of it in it.
Is this
abroad.
Where we become the podcast that's like, don't trust the mainstream media? They're not going to tell you the truth. We want you to watch this documentary and then just listen to us.
No, I did feel as if it was a bit more of a scandal in America than it was in Germany. It did feel like that at the time. I did, and there was a bit more outrage about it in Germany. But there are, in America, but there are court cases and people are being sued and prosecuted in Germany too, I should mention.
It's amazing the things that like different cultures get kind of like outraged by, and maybe like Volkswagen, like it's such a part of the German psyche, like the car industry and what that represents. It's almost that's their reason of state.
Yeah,
they're kind of like, well, you know, that's business, because it's not just, oh, we have to keep the profits of Volkswagen going, but it's like, well, countries sometimes have to act in ways, you know, to keep the peace, or, you know, compromises need to be made. It's almost this different.
Yeah.
But if we could do a good segue now, which doesn't often happen. One thing that Germany is very much outraged by in a way that other countries are not is nuclear shit.
Yeah.
I know we're talking about slightly different nuclear things, but I don't understand how nuclear energy is different to nuclear bombs. And so I have made that...
A segue. That is a good segue.
It's the same word, Conrad. It must be the same. How's your mega?
Oh, brilliant. I can really taste the Coca-Cola. It's except no substitutes.
I don't think that's true. But yes, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's got the nice swoopy writing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, nuclear weapons. You know Donald Trump, yeah?
Right. I actually know this story because it's been covered. It was like the lead page on My Guardian. I think The Guardian must feed me a lot of Germany articles, or The Guardian is weirdly obsessed with Germany. I don't know. It must be because I'm in Germany. Because, like, the stuff that they report on, I'm like, that's your lead article.
So, Donald Trump...
I do know Donald Trump.
He made a speech in South Carolina on one of his campaign rallies, in which he basically said he would not protect NATO member states unless they, quote, paid their bills, which doesn't make any sense because you don't pay bills to NATO. But anyway, whatever.
And he said he would encourage Russia to attack those countries.
Yeah, I mean, he just says stuff,
runs his mouth.
And then everyone has to react to it because they think, oh, we might be the next
person. To be fair, I do think in this instance, maybe reaction. Like when he says like racist shit and then people have to react to it and then we talk about racism on a really disgusting level for ages, then fine. I mean, I know we literally just did that at the beginning of the podcast, but right. So everyone's wetting their knickers about the possibility of NATO funding or...
Well, not...
If Trump comes to power... support from America.
Because of this NATO agreement that if one member is attacked, then the others will defend it. And he said he wouldn't defend it if he was president, if they didn't pay their bills. Which, anyway, it doesn't make a lot of sense, really, if you look at it. But the point is, this caused a lot of debate. And do you know who Katharina Barley is?
No.
Oh, she's SPD. European candidate for, you know, she's like an SPD politician. She used to be a cabinet minister. Anyway, she did an interview in which she said a European nuclear umbrella should not be off the table. You know, we should discuss the idea of having a European nuclear protection thing. And it's really complicated because only one EU country has nuclear weapons. That's France. But France is also part of NATO, and like, how would that work? And France is not saying we would protect the whole of the EU with our nuclear weapons. They're just we're like, you know, and then it started being a discussion about, well, maybe Germany should get nuclear weapons, and Germany agreed at the end of the last World War not to have any nuclear weapons.
Maybe not now, because it's beginning to look. Very, if not 1930s around here, definitely 1920s.
Yeah.
So we're really right on target for this centenary of shit. So, but wasn't like the UK kind of, so I can't remember why the UK was involved. They were like, oh yeah, basically we could have like a little Europe gang.
Yeah.
If like Germany, presumably they need Germany to foot the bill. They need Volkswagen to start making... environmentally friendly
diesel powered
super bombs. Great.
This was kind of like a bit of a debate, but then this week and amongst various sort of security wonks, and it was enough to write articles about, and I wrote one of them, so there you go, because I mean, something has to keep me off the streets too.
Yeah.
And everyone basically agreed that Germany's never going to have nuclear weapons just for a variety of reasons.
They can barely, even when the lights were about to go, when we were all last winter so worried about the inflation of like oil and gas prices that we were turning our heaters down and buying hot water bottles and not heating our homes properly. And they were like, should we leave the like nuclear power plants just for a bit longer, and everyone was like, no. Because they've got this real cultural thing against nuclear.
Yeah. Well, there's that, and there's also Germany signed an agreement at the end of the Second World War not to ever build nuclear power, nuclear weapons.
Yeah, and I think we should probably stick to that because yeah. Fuck knows.
And then the question of an EU nuclear umbrella emerged, and that was also knocked down by all these different, you know, clever people. on the basis that, like, who would even push the button in the EU, you know?
Yeah, who that would be in charge? Such a fucking nightmare.
I mean, you know, who, you know, are you going to have a vote on it in the EU Parliament?
Saying this earlier, like, quite a good deterrent. Like, right, have we reached the end of the road? Is it time for nuclear? Do we want to start having those debates between all 27 of us? Or do we want to, let's just try diplomacy.
Yeah.
But
and you know what's interesting in the EU, there are three countries that have a little quiz time for you.
Oh.
Three EU countries have signed the International Nuclear Ban Treaty, which means that they want to wipe nuclear weapons off the face of the earth.
Oh.
And can you guess which three EU countries might have signed that treaty? So that they would be ideologically...
Quite far down this mega. Can I name three EU countries? Because okay. My first thought was like, UK, is it in it? No, Megan, that dream is over.
That means they want to... They're against the idea of nuclear weapons and they want to ban them, basically ban them. So there's an international treaty and three EU countries have signed it.
West or East? Or both?
All three of them are what you would call Western nations, I would think.
I'm going to go, mate, would it be Ireland?
Yes.
We'd never fucking manage that anyway.
Yeah, Ireland is
Spain?
One of
Spain?
No.
Portugal?
No. It's going to take ages. It's
Denmark?
No.
Is it in the EU? I told you this is not Denmark. Good. Denmark is in the EU. They just don't have the euro.
Yeah. No, it's Ireland, Malta, and Austria. It's a bit like the Eurovision Song Contest.
Right.
Good. They're all good.
Well, Austria just never does. Well, they're all sort of neutral down there, aren't they?
Yeah. So anyway, that would also cause a problem if the EU ever had any power over nuclear weapons, because those three countries would have to vote against it because they've signed this contract.
Okay.
Anyway, that doesn't really matter.
So we don't think anyone's going to get any nuclear weapons. Well, that is just as well, because it's still a shit show. Yeah, Germany is just mad. Oh, we haven't even talked about the main thing that I was absolutely incensed with this week, which was Friedrich Merz going to Israel.
Oh.
And running his mouth like an absolute fucker.
Can we save that?
Please, by all means. But if you're hearing this before Saturday afternoon, there is pro-Palestinian or like Palestinian solidarity demo.
Okay.
And Hamman Platz on Saturday afternoon.
What else is happening this week? Now,
like, oh, yes. Sorry. Let's. Obviously, things are awful. Things continue to be terrible in the Middle East, and Germany is just being such a fucking dick about it. Anyway. But on a more happier-ish note.
Hmm.
It is one of my favourite weeks in Berlin. It is the Berlinale, which is the big Berlin film festival, which is actually, obviously, incredibly like middle class and ridiculous, but also really fun.
Hmm.
And the city does have like a little buzz around it. Cillian Murphy, I like to think of him as my sliding doors husband, because if we'd met, we would be in love. Like, that's just, I can't.
Is he here?
He was here last night with Matt Damon.
Oh, he's got a film on, hasn't he? Yeah.
Opened the Berlinale, and if you got tickets for it, fucking congratulations, because
yeah, hard to get tickets for that.
Crazy. Not for the premiere, for like any of the four other showings of the film.
Yeah.
Not
the Verti Music Hall always has tickets. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Good luck is all I can say. But anyway.
So the Berlinale's on.
So the Berlinale is happening, and I did not go to the premiere, obviously. We weren't invited. That would be great if we got that, like, famous. Well, I don't know. Anyway, do you know what I thought was really funny? So I'm watching the red carpet. And until, obviously, it's all the German celebrities and stuff, which is wonderful. I don't know any of them.
Hmm.
Until I'm like, fucking hell, the fucking MegaCam podcast. I'm only, like, because I don't watch German television, really. And so then I would recognize someone and go, oh, I know that person, as they got out of their fancy Uber that was obviously sponsoring the event or whatever. And I'd be like, oh, what have they been in? I was like, it's the fucking, the federal health minister. It's Karl Lauterbach. Like, all I was fucking recognized. I was like, oh, that man. I was like, that's the mayor. Only the politicians I recognized. And then, like, the Irish actors. I was like, fucking hell. I really need to expand my horizons.
Oh, no. I've So this podcast has ruined your celebrity recognition.
Really, I was like, God damn it. I only know the, like, uncool...
So there wasn't anyone from...
It's not about being a politician, but, like, I was like, oh, fuck's sake. But okay. There were some people wearing, like, one actress had a huge, like, diamante necklace, which said fuck AfD on it, which was good.
Hmm.
And then... this model who I'd obviously never heard of, but he was like, I was like, oh, I wonder if he's like up and coming. He's like a massive household name whose name I have not forgot, like a Senegalese model who has been incredibly successful. But he was wearing this incredible outfit with then like a big cape that said more empathy and fuck AfD. And
AfD's been in the news, haven't it, with the Abernathy, because they were disinvited.
They were. So all your politicians, obviously, which is the only reason I knew anyone on the red carpet, get invites. Mm. But the five AfD politicians.
Yeah, I think they're from the Berlin Abgeordnetenhaus. They're not they're Berlin politicians.
Yes, yeah.
And they were disinvited from this year's gala because of all that stuff. Yeah. Well then, well, good.
Yes. And what else film-wise is happening this weekend is the...
Oh. Well, if you're at a loose end on Saturday night, my documentary is on at the Babylon Kino Mitte at 10 p.m.
As part of?
The Berlin Independent Film Festival.
The BIFF.
The BIFF, which is a lovely little festival, which is... a bit like the Berlinale, just a little bit smaller. But I met some of the other filmmakers there, and there are a lot of really good films on at the BIFF.
I mean, your film is excellent. So if that's like the standard, I really do think that I'm going to try and go to some stuff maybe as well.
Oh,
I would love to go and see yours. I think I know all the words to yours that it's becoming like. Because it's so good. But
there's a lot of good films on there. Just check it out.
BIFF,
Independent Film Festival, also worth seeing.
Absolutely.
And I think we should wrap it up there. Been going on for ages.
Have we? This is a long one.
Yeah.
This is a long one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Take care of yourselves, everybody. If you see Cillian Murphy... I'm not saying kidnap him and then DM me on Twitter. I'm not saying that. So, yeah.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Megan can. German news in English with a cocktail can. The German news, it's quite a test.
It's quite a positive message to give to people.
So.
I like to think that we have quite a positive impact on our listeners.
I hope so.
Because we try and get them to defy the fear of listening to the news all day.
I mean, it's better than reading a German newspaper, surely.
I would definitely recommend listening to our podcast more than reading any German newspaper.
German newspapers barely have pictures. It's just a brick of text.
Oh, yes. And they seem to make a virtue of it. They think it's like so great to have no text.
Not like you Americans with your fucking...
colour pictures.
Decadent pictures in your newspapers.
Yeah,
What's that? A crossword puzzle. Oh, no wonder you had Trump. Jesus Christ, everyone. Like, there's a middle ground.
You have to concentrate on the news. It's very important. Oh. And you have to, like, keep it there.
Have a mega.
Give us a picture every now and then.
Just a wee picture, maybe a, you know,
yeah,
a diagram.